Our shiur today is dedicated L'Refuah Shleima, Reb Ephraim ben Yehudis and Mora Sora Bas Be'a, father and mother of one of the study participants in our shiur, a very special person and a very beautiful family, father and mother. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send them L'Refuah Shleima min HaShomayim L'Ramach Eivareihem They should have Erichas Yomim B'Shonam with their beautiful families, and we should all share and hear B'Sodes Tovus. Ve'el HaMishpotim HaShetosim B'Fneihem. And this week's parasha is divided between Mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Mokim, but most of the basics in Mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Chaveiro, Dinei Shomrim and Dinei Nezikin, and very many other fundamental halachas in the realm of Mishpat, and not only mitzvahs. So a great part of the mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Chaveiro are found in this week's parsha. So today's shiur will be a very, very fundamental discussion, which I don't think was ever undertaken before, but out of many years of hisboininess, I've come to a very fundamental yesoid in Torah Shebal Peh. And I think that the entire realm of mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Chaveiro is fundamentally different than all the mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Mokoyim. And while mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Mokoyim, we say, Ein Chochma ve'ein Tvuna ve'ein Eitze Neged Hashem, and there are very fixed rules, when one mitzvah stands against the other, seems to be a stira between one mitzvah and the other. What comes first and what comes last? What overrides what? Mitzvah sase docha mitzvah lo ta'ase. But only if it's a lav she'en beikores, lav she'yesh beikores is not pushed aside by another mitzvah. Machlokes rishonim, whether one mitzvah sase could override two lav, and everything is fixed, everything is clear, everything is clearly defined. Not so regarding mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Chaveiro. And Chazal, with their awesome wisdom and tremendous insight, understood that the entire realm of mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Chaveiro depend on two fundamental yesoides. One is intention. Does it mean bad or does it mean good? And the other is the well-being of the community and the individual. And that is why we find many sources in Shas that a person could violate and do a technical aveira ben odam l'chaveiroi if his intentions are pure and it is to the benefit of the ones involved or of the greater community. And we will discuss three separate areas which are probably the luz, the shedra, the backbone of the entire marechet, the entire system of mitzvah Sheben Odom L'Chaveiroi. Gneiva v'gzeile, choy v'lo mazek, malbem p'nei chaveiroi, and oinoas devorim. And in each of these realms, we will prove the basic idea that I suggest. So gneiva v'gzeile are discussed at great length in Bava Kamma, other sources in Shas, Hilchas Gneiva, Hilchas Gezeila, in Shulchan Aruch and in Rambam. So in Kiddushin Dav Samech Tes Omed Aleph, we find a fascinating sugya. A mamzer came before Rav Shamloi. And Rav Shamloi said, if you would come to me, or if your father would come to me before you were born, I would give him an eitza how to purify coming generations from the curse of Mamzerus. What would I say? Go out and steal. And when a thief cannot pay, Bezin has the authority to sell him into slavery to pay his theft. I would give an eitzah, go and steal. And then say, I have no money to pay. Bezin will sell you. You'll be an Eved Ivri. And Avedivri Rabbi Moisel Ishifchu Knanis. And when they have children, the children are Avodim. And then I would tell your master to let them free. And Eved is free, he's a kosher Jew, and he's not a mamzer. And then he would marry, and your grandchildren would be kosher Jews. The Ritva, Meiri, and others ask, how would he give an Eitza for a person to steal? That's a lav. It's an Isser Diuraisa. It's a lav. Tosfos Rosh, I think, says, no, he will steal with the consent of the person from whom he will steal. You know, the make a deal. I'll let him know why I'm stealing from him. And the Pele is, then it's not stealing. If it's with a mutual consent, then it's not considered stealing. So obviously the Kavona is no, but we won't tell the Beis Din that it was mutual consent. If you don't tell the Beis Din, and Beis Din sells you on mistaken premise, then it would be a Mekechtos, I think. And he would not be entitled to marry a Shifchei Kananis. Tosfos Reid, one of the great Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yeshayahu Rishon, says, well, yes, technically it's an Aveda, he's stealing. But he doesn't mean to cause any harm or damage to the person from whom he is stealing. And his sole intention is to purify his Zera from Mamzeres, and that is a great ethical value and a great mitzvah. And therefore, yes, that was the Eitzah of Rav Shamlai. Kuli Alma Moedim, it is quite clear that technically this is theft. He is stealing. But he doesn't have bad intentions. It's not that he wants other people's money and he doesn't want to cause harm or damage or suffering to other people. His sole intention is, this is the only way to ensure that this curse will not be passed on to coming generations. And therefore, Rav Shamlai concluded that would be muta. Bava Basra Tezayinu Medalef, Chazal exalted the righteousness of Eiv, why Eiv was such a great tzaddik. And Eiv used to steal fields of Yesoimim, of little orphans. He used to take possession of their fields, sow, plow, and then reap the harvest. And before reaping the harvest, he used to give those fields back to those orphans. And the lesson of the Gemara is he would steal their fields. And some of the Rishonim, the Yad Rama and the Meiri, ask, well, he is stealing out of pure intentions. He wants to care for those orphans. They cannot take care of their fields on their own. So he did it for them. But why would this be different than the Gemara in Bava Mitzrayim of Daf Samach Aleph? HaGoizel al menas l'shalem tashlumei kefil is still violating a law that is still b'chlal loy signoivu. Even though the Rishonim explain, the only reason he is stealing is he wants to give tzedukah to those people and they refuse to accept. So he steals their possessions and he has to pay tashlumei kefil. He has to pay, lefi mishpat ha-Torah, twice the sum of what he stole. And when a person steals al menas l'shalem tashlumei kefil, he's still violating a law and it still is considered geneva. So why would the story of Eiv be different? Why does the Gemara say in Bava Metzias Samach Aleph that it is a prohibition, a violation, an avaida? And in Bava Baset HaZayin, Chazal speak about the righteousness and the tzitzus of Eiv. Why would it be different? So the Yad Rama says, well, Eiv did it from non-Jews, and that would be a different din. Why would it be different? Why would it be different? The Meiri says, similar idea to the Tosfos Rosh in Kiddushin Daf Samech Tes. When you're stealing from an adult that is entitled and he has the ability to make his own decisions, you have no right to take anything away from that person, even though your intention is to pay him twice the price. If he doesn't want your money, then he is entitled not to take your money. And you want to be a big tzaddik, you have no right to steal, even though my intention is to give him back twice the sum that I took from him. No, that doesn't make wrong right. But in the case of Ian, we're dealing with Ktanim. We're dealing with the Yesoimim. Nobody is there to take care of them. They have fields. They have potential riches. But there's no one there to help them out. And in that case, it was tzidkus and not riches. It was righteousness and not wrong to take possession of their fields, to plant, and then give them back a field which is abundant with fruit. So technically, this is Geneva. And the lashon of the Gemara is that Iov was Geisel Sedeis Yesoimim. Technically, yes, it is Geneva. But his intentions were good and pure, and there was no other way to care for these Yesoimim. And that makes wrong right. And that is the same principle as we see in Tosa Sid regarding the Gemara and Kedushin of Samech Tes. And what is surprising, that the Ritvon Bava Basa that Zion quotes that Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Samech Tes Reb Shamlois Eitzah, how to be Metayer Mamzer. Shabbos Kuf Memches Amid Aleph. And this would be slightly more amusing than the previous two stories we told. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Barbachona came to Pumpedita. There was a very choshev guest in town, and Rav Yehuda very much wanted him to come to the Beis Medrash and give a shiur. He was one of the greatest sages of the generation, obviously elderly, and he was in town. We don't know exactly what he was doing in town, vacationing, or he came for different business or different things. Rav Yehuda invited him to come to his Beis Medrash. He refused. He did not accept the invitation. So Rav Yehuda sends Abedaila, who was one of his Meshabshim, a gabbai, grab his hat and run away. So he grabbed his hat, Rabbi Babuchana's hat. Choshev, a rabbi, can't go out of his house without a hat, without a shtreimel. He's going to go to shul without a shtreimel. So Rabbi Babachona chases Abedaila, and Abedaila runs away, and he runs to the Beis Medrash, and that is how we brought Rabbi Babachona to the Beis Medrash. Once he's in the Beis Medrash, Rav Yehuda asks him, what's the din if a child has a shever, a broken bone in Shabbos? Could you put it back into place? Could you take care of it? And he says, of course you could. And Rav Yehuda turns to his talmidim. Wasn't it a spark of genius, you know, to grab his hat and have him in the Beis Medrash and let us hear Torah from him and let him teach us Torah? So that's an interesting story told in Shabbos Kuf Memches. But the question is, Abedaila stole a hat. You take another person's hat without his consent and you run away, you're a thief. So what was the heter? Rav Yehuda wants to bring Rabbi Babachona to the Beis Medrash. Does that override Geneva? Talmud Torah, would that override Geneva? Are we allowed to steal to learn Torah? If I don't have a shas and my neighbor does have and he doesn't want to give me a gemara, could I run in his house, snatch a gemara, take it away? Talmud Torah doesn't override the Isser of Geneva. So I think it's the same. Rav Yehuda never intended really to take away the hat of Rabbi Babachona. Probably Rav Yehuda had his own hat. We don't even know whether it was the same, the same size. So there was never any intention to take away his hat. And at the end of the day, yes, all the Talmidim benefited. Rabbi Babachona came to the Beis Medrash. They asked Shilas. He gave his psukim. He taught them Torah. And he got his hat back as well. And therefore, yes, technically there was Geneva involved. But in those circumstances, that was not defined as an Isser. Tanis Chof Aleph Omid Beis. And in my Ksovim, this tshuva was never printed yet, but I hope it will be in Chelik Dalet Shalas Tshuvas Minchas Osher. Should be out in a few months. So in Tanis Chof Aleph Omid Beis, Chof Aleph Omid Beis, Abaye wants to check the righteousness of Abba Umna. Abba Umna was a doctor, a medical professional, and he was said to be a great tzaddik. And Abaye really wants to check his righteousness. Why? We do not know. But there could be many reasons. So Abaye asks some of his Talmidim to make believe they are guests in town and knock on his door and ask, could we stay with you for the weekend? And Abba Umna was a big Baal Chesed, and he said, I'll be happy to have you. And they stole some tachshitim of his wife, stole some jewelry. And then they approached Abba Umna in the shuk, and they asked, could you give us an evaluation? We have some jewelry to sell. Maybe he was known as a person that was a monch in jewelry. We have some jewelry we would like to sell. Could you evaluate the price? And they show him the jewelry that they stole from his home. And he examines those pieces and he gives them an evaluation. And he gives them back to those two people that were staying in his house. And they say, our dear friend and master, this is your jewelry, and we took it from your house. Didn't you recognize that this is yours? And he said, I did. So why didn't you slap us in the face and call the police? So Abin Umna says, I assumed maybe you're busy with Pidyon Shvuyim and you have no other source of money. So you stole this jewelry from my house, and I was aware, I recognized these pieces. But if you're doing Pidyon Shvuyim and that is Pikuach Nefesh, take it. So Abaye was just out to verify, is Abba Umna such a great tzaddik? But at the end of the day, those people stole. Taking jewelry out of a person's house into your own possession without consent, that is Gneiva in its purest form. So what was the heter? We must assume it was very important to Abaye to know. We don't know why. Chazal don't share with us why. But obviously, if that is what Abaye told his Talmidim to do, it was very important for him. It was of the greatest importance for Abaye to know, is Abna Umna really such a righteous, such a great tzaddik? And obviously, he passed the test. So there was no intention ever to take away his possession. And the plan in the first place was just to play out this game for an hour or 2 hours and give it right back. There was never any intention to take away from him. And the objective, the reasoning was important to Abaye. And in those circumstances, technically, yes, this was theft. But when these two fundamentals are intact, a lack of evil intention and benefit either of the individual, like in the case of Eov and the Yesoimim, or in the case of that Mamzer, either the benefit of the greater community, like in the case of Rabbi Babachona's hat, bringing him to the Beis HaMikdash, or the case of Abaye checking out the righteousness of Abba Umna, in that case, it would be permissible. It is technically a lav of Gneiva and Gzela, but under those circumstances, it would be a heter. And that is not based on a concrete theory, like Esa Doicha Lois Esa. But when the intentions are pure, and it is to the benefit, to extreme benefit, either of the individual or the community, it is permissible. Let's go over to a totally different realm. Choyvel u'mazik, not gzeiva, gneiva u'gzeila. So at the beginning of Masechet Tomid, the very first Mishnah, Masechet Tomid, Tomid Daf Chof Hei, the Mishnah deals with Shmiras HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash stood in Yerushalayim, in Har HaMoriah, now there are others up there in Har HaBayis, Shualim Hilchuba. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim and the Kohanim were Shomrei HaMikdash, standing there like sentinels. Shomrei HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says, HaRoivim Hoyu Mishamrim. They were very young, children. According to the Rosh and many other Rishonim, under the age of Bar Mitzvah. And that was their duty and their function. And Ish HaRabayis was supervising them all night. And he was making the rounds. And if he finds any of those shamrim that fell asleep, first of all, he did like this. that didn't work. He had a stick. Reshus hoyeloi lachov toy b'makel. He could hit those guys with his stick to wake them up. And if they still didn't get up, reshus hoyeloi lisroif ksusoi. Because in those days, they had no electricity. They had no flashlights. So the supervisor was making the rounds with a torch. And if there's no other way to wake up those boys, he could burn their garments. And the Rosh asks, what would be the heter to burn their garments? It's Bal Tashchis. Why doesn't he ask it's Gezel? Why is he disturbed by Bal Tashchis? When you destroy Hefker, that is Bal Tashchis. But if you destroy the garment that belongs to a person, that is Lo Tigzer. That is Mazik. It's not only Bal Tashchis. And why doesn't he ask, how could he hit him? Hitting a Jew is a lav, lo yosef la koisoi. So in this Mishnah and in this Gemara, we have both choivel and mazik. Hitting a person and causing him physical pain is a lav, a prohibition. Destroying any of his possessions is a lav. It's mazik, which is once again lo yosef. And the Rosh is disturbed about Bal Tashchis and not about Gezel. So, we must assume. But this is the mitzvah of Shemitas HaMikdash. And if there is no other way to deter those boys from falling asleep and see to it that they do their duty, then yes, that would be permissible. And once again, it's not mitzvah to say the ochalot aser because they were tanim, and a tanim is potum in a mitzvah. So you cannot punish a katan. Basically, a katan is not to be penalized. We can't. He's not a bar chiyuva. So this is not a penalty. It's not an einish. But it's the only way to see to it that mitzvah is properly performed. And in those circumstances, it would be permissible. We're not out to hurt. We're out to ensure that the mitzvah of Shemiras HaMikdash, Lekvoid HaMikdash VeLekvoid HaShchina is properly performed. Rabbi Yehuda Asad, one of the great Gedolim of the time of the Chasam Sofer, Tshuvas Yoredeya, Shalas Tshuvas Yehuda Alev, Simen Kuf Samach Dalad, deals with this question. And he says, LeMigdar Milta, Yesh koyach biyad chachomim lakor dover menatoyra. I think it would be far-fetched to say this is defined as akiras dover menatoyra. So according to my basic approach that I'm trying to elaborate and explain tonight, no, this is not akiras dover menatoyra. Under these circumstances, technically, yes, technically it's gezel, technically it's choyvel b'chaveroi, but essentially, it is just to ensure the proper performance of the mitzvah of Shemiras HaMikdash, and if there's not other way to do it, this is permissible. So I don't know. Maybe the Mikdash, at the end of the day, will compensate those losses. I don't know. If I would be the Av Beis Din, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, that is what I would suggest. Would it still be a deterrent? Maybe those boys will bring their shabbiest, oldest suits in order to get some new ones, and they'll pretend to be falling asleep to be compensated and getting some new garments. Okay, then we'll have to deal with that. But basically, I would say there is no bad intention, and it is to the benefit of the community. It is the only way to ensure Shemiras HaMikdash. And as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that the Shemiras HaMikdash is lekvoidoi, leraimemoi, ulefa'aroi, einoi doi mepalten sheyesh olav shoymerim mepalten she'ein olav shoymerim. If this is kvoid HaMikdash and kvoid HaShchina, that would necessitate and that would permit a technical iser of choyvel and mazik. Bova kama, Rosh, Pere Gimel, Halocha, or Simen Yud Gimel, the Rosh writes a Chiddush that maybe would seem obvious to us because just being part of the modern world and the practical world would be seem to us to be so logical. But from the halachic perspective, I think it still would be a chiddush. That if a person acts violently and he hits another, the attacked has the right to fight back in the same manner. He could run away, but he doesn't have to run away. And he doesn't have to let others abuse him. And he could fight back. And the one that said, if a person slapped you in the face, give him your other cheek. No, that is not acceptable in halacha. And the Rosh says, by halachic perspective, yes, you could react in a similar fashion. And we find this same principle not only in Dinei Chayvel, but also in Oinoas Devorim, and that is a very well-known Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Shin Lamites, in the Lav of Loisainu Ish Es Amisoi, and the Gemara says in Perek Hazov and Mesechet Bo Vemetzia that we find this Lav Loisainu twice. Echad Oinoas Devorim VeEchad Oinoas Momoin. Loisainu means you cannot cheat and sell anything for an exaggerated price without the knowledge of the buyer. But it also is a prohibition on Oinoas Devorim, causing embarrassment or suffering to others by words. Words could hurt as much as physical pain hurts. And the Chinuch says, but if a person insults or offends another, the one that was embarrassed or insulted or offended has the right to respond by the same token, in the same way. The Chinuch does say, but that is not Midas HaChasidim. About Midas HaChasidim, the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Lamed Vav, Hana Elovim Ve'einam Olvim, Shom HaChaposim Ve'einam Meshivim, Aleihem HaKos Avoyim Avo'ov Av Ketzeis Hashem Es Bigvorosoi. But by halachic definition, yes, if somebody hurts you physically, you could hit back, you could fight back. If he hurts you verbally, you could respond in the same way. And I think fundamentally, this fits into the same fundamental pattern that I tried to explain. In Bein Adam L'Makom, there would be no such principle. But in the realm of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, there is something natural which would say, it's not reasonable, it's not justified. Gam Nivnu Oiseresha, that violent people should get away with it. It's not justified that a person will go around hitting others and hurting others, and people won't respond in the same way. So in the modern world, you could say, call the police. But even today, that is totally unreasonable. Call the police. He's already 10 blocks away by the time the police will get him, and I don't have any evidence. The police will take him into the van and then let him go 2 blocks or around the corner. They don't have what to do with him. So the Rosh and the Marshal and Yamshel Shloim and the Sefer HaChinuch dealing with Oinoas Devorim. But Oinoas Devorim and Choyvel B'Chaveroi, I think it is the same underlying principle. It is totally unreasonable that violent people and the bad ones will have their way and their day, and we cannot respond in a similar fashion, and therefore, we don't have a specific source in Chazal, in the Talmud, in the Gemara, but these great Rishonim, out of Uvnis Adalib and Svoras Alev, say, in these circumstances, hitting a person or insulting a person would not be relevant, and they would be permissible. Ma'al ben pnei chaveroi. I think a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, did I say a shir b'atro kedisha hadein about Yehuda and Tomer ma'al ben pnei chaveroi, and the Tosis and Soita da Fyud? The Tosis seems to indicate it's Yehereg val Yavar, and I explained, you know, my understanding in that sugya. So coming back, ma'al ben pnei chaveroi is one of the harshest isurim. So we did discuss at great length, is it actually a Hereg Val Yaver, or that is something Chazal just say b'derech afloga, noyech loy la'odem shiyap al asatz malikiv shenoweish ma'al ben pnei chaveroi berabim. But the mere fact that Chazal makes such a statement, that it's preferable to give away your life and not insult another person in public, proves that it's a great Aveda. So in Ksubis Daf Mem Taisum in the base, there's a discussion in the Gemara. Is a person halachically required, obliged, obligated to support his children financially when they're minors? Person has children, 10 years old, 11, 12, 13 minors. Because you have to support them financially. And the Gemara says no. There is no clear source or takana that a person has to provide for his little children. So there was a person in town that did not provide for his little children. And he said, let the community take care of them. They're helpless. They can't help themselves. We have a kupishal tzedakah. There's money in the kupishal tzedakah. So what do we do? He is not violating a given rule or regulation. There's no halacha that obligates him to support his children. So Rav Chisda said, turn over a barrel. Doesn't necessarily need to be a barrel. It'll be difficult to find a barrel out there nowadays. Turn over a barrel in middle of the shuk, in middle of the marketplace, and somebody should get up there and shout out. Even a raven cares for its offspring. And Pliny Almini, Yosef ben Shimon, is worse than a raven, and he is not supporting his children. That is what Rav Chisda said. That has to be done. So what would be the heter of Malbim Pnei Chaveroi Berabim? He didn't do any Avera. Chazal clearly say there is no halacha that obligates him to provide for his children. So we must assume, yes, there's no halacha. But that is naturally what fathers are about. A person should care for his family, and he has no right to throw his children a burden on the community. Why would others take care of his children? It is the right thing to do. And even though there is no specific halacha requiring him to do so, this is what we expect a good Jew to do. And if he doesn't act properly, yes, what could we do? We can't lock him up. We can't hit him. But we could embarrass him. And we could make life miserable for him to see that he provides for his children. Why wouldn't there be a Isser Chomer of Malbim Pnei Chaveroi Berabim? Some Achroina maintain in accordance with Tosfos that would be Yehereg Val Yaver. Because in these circumstances, it is justified. And once again, there is no specific halacha of Eser Doichalois Eser. It's not a mitzvah to say. He has no chiv to do so. And we have no chiv to punish him. We cannot punish him. But it's the least we could do to see to it that a person cares for his children and provides for his family. And in that case, there would be no Isser of Malbim Pnei Chaveroi Berabim. So I was once asked by a Vada Bayit. Most houses in Israel are, you know, houses in which many neighbors live. Sometimes it's two or three or four. Well, the wealthy and the affluent could afford their own houses, but the vast majority of people in this country live in condominiums, live in apartment houses in which you share public space with your neighbors, and there are mutual expenses. So we expect all the neighbors to pitch in, and that is what Vada Bayit is about. And I don't know why statistically, usually in every house there is one nechs that doesn't want to participate, and he never pays his bills. So what could you do? You could call him to Beis Din. But you're going to open up a tikkun beis din that's going to call you approximately 300 shekel, and all the guy owes is 150 shekels for the past 4 months or the past 5 months. So it doesn't make sense opening a tikkun beis din. You're going to open a tik for 300 shekel, and then he's going to say, no, I want another beis din, and you're going to pay another 300 shekel to open a tik on the sixth beis din. And 6 months from now, you know, you'll have a diyun. Doesn't make sense. So what could we do if a person doesn't want to pay his fees, his dues to the Vada Bayit? So, is the Vaad entitled to put a notice on the board and say, we ask Mr. Kneppelmacher or whoever he is to pay his dues, he owes 4 months that he hasn't paid. So he argues that is halbonus ponim. You have no right to do that to me. So what should we do? Going to Basin is not really an option, as I explained. So I suggested, no, don't write Mr. So-and-so hasn't paid his fees. Write, we thank Mr. A, B, C, E, F, G for paying their fees. And we ask all the others to please be forthcoming and do the same. But yes, I think there would be no Isser of Malbim Pnei Chaveroi Berabim. And I learned this halacha from that Gemara in Ksubis Daf Mem Tes. What could we do? we have no right to hit him or to take away, you know, his money. So the least we can do, yes, is embarrass him. So if a person doesn't pay what he should be paying, what he is mechuyev to pay al pi din, this is the least we can do. And if he really feels offended and uncomfortable, there's a very simple solution. Just knock on the door of the Yoshev Rasha Vad and pay what you owe the Vad, and that tzetela will come off. So I think, yes, we are entitled to do so. And this is what we learn from that sugya, Ksuvis Memtes, and in other related sugyas. Another example regarding Malbin Pnei Chaveiro Berabim. And this is a fascinating gemara, and I don't recall of anything similar. It really is a big chiddush, and I don't recall any similar sugya. So in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph, there's an interesting story. Maaseh Berabbeinu HaKadosh, a Rebbe, Shenechnas HaBeis HaMedesh VeHirgish Reach Shel Shum. Rebbe came into the shiur, and he feels a smell of garlic. And probably the Talmidim knew that Rebbe Yudah Nosi Rebbe can't stand the smell of garlic. And he says, the one that ate garlic is kindly asked to leave the room. Kam Reb Chiya V'yotza. Reb Chiya was the greatest disciple of Rebbe. He was number one. He was the greatest Amora, and Rebbe was the last Tana, the Masadar of Mishnayis. So when Rebbe says, the one that ate garlic is asked kindly to leave the room, Reb Chiya gets up and leaves the room. And when all the others see the great Reb Chiya leaving, all the others got up and left the room. Tomorrow, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, finds Reb Chiya and he says, Atu hu shitziarto la'aba. You caused so much pain and embarrassment to my father. How dare you? Reb Chiya says, I wasn't the one that ate garlic. I know Rebbe is sensitive. I would never do that. So why did he leave the room? Kedei shelo levayish es misha ochal shum. I knew that the person that ate garlic was a newcomer. Doesn't know the rules. He didn't mean any bad. And if he will have to get up and leave the room, he will be very embarrassed. And I wanted to prevent his insult, his embarrassment. And that is why I got up and left, knowing that after I leave, he will be able to get up and leave as well. What happened is they all left. And the Gemara asks, Reb Chiya menayin loy, Reb Chiya menayin loy. How did Reb Chiya learn that this is the right way to act in a similar situation? The Gemara says Reb Chiya learned it from Reb Meir. What happened in the days of Reb Meir? Reb Meir is sitting in his yeshiva with many talmidim, and a woman walks in, and she says, Rebbe, echod mikem, Kiddushani Bibiya. One of you had very improper conduct with me, said this woman. Echod mikem kiddushani Bibiya. And Reb Meir obviously is deeply disappointed and hurt. And he writes a get, and he gives her a get. It was obvious to everyone that it wasn't Reb Meir. So after Reb Meir writes a get, all the Talmidim, each of them went to a cipher, and that lady got, I don't know, 100, 200 gittin in one day. Why did the Rameya do that? Obviously, the culprit was one of our Talmidim. But to prevent his terrible embarrassment, Rameya said, I'll write a get, and so will all the others. And the Gemara asks, Rameya menayin lo, from whom did he learn this? From Shmuel HaKotel. Because ein ma'avrin es hashona elo b'mizumonim. You cannot do Iber Hashona, you need seven chachamim, and they all need to be prior invitation. They need to be invited. It cannot be spontaneous. So Rabbi Gamliel once comes to the ceremony of Ibur Hashona, and he finds eight people instead of seven. He says, Misha olo shaloi bershus yered. The one that was not invited, will you please leave the room? Shmuel HaKotan leaves the room. And the Gemara says, Shmuel HaKotan was invited, but he didn't want to embarrass the one that was not invited, so he took this embarrassment upon himself, and he left the room. And the Gemara asks, how does Shmuel HaKotan know this? And the Gemara brings a pasuk and says, Yeshua, he learned it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvoido v'biyato. What is the issue at stake? Rabbi Chiya was the greatest Talmudim. He was the one that put together all the braises. Rabbi Meir was the greatest Tana, at least one of the greatest Tanaim. The Gemara says in he was the greatest sage, the greatest genius in his generation. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Meir probably were mechadish hundreds of halachas. So what's the question of Rabbi Chiya Menayin? It's his own idea. It's of his own making. Rabbi Meir was the greatest sage in his generation. He can't be mechadish on his own. Obviously, there must be some very fundamental ethical dilemma at work. The Gemara asks, where did Rabbi Chiya learn it? And Rabbi Meir and Shimon HaKod. Now we go all the way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, there are two very fundamental ethical values at stake, contradicting one another. One is halbonas ponim, preventing halbonas ponim, preventing the public embarrassment of a person. Yehereg val yaver, according to Pastor Cecilia. But on the other hand, ve'yisem nekiim mi'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael, and that is the concept of chashda. A person cannot act in a way in which people would think that he is a wrongdoer and he is a sinner. Yes, that is a basic ethical value as well. V'heyisem nekiim Hashem u'mi Yisrael. So when these two stand one against the other, which overrides the other, and because this is midas ben odam l'chaveira, we don't have any clear rules. Both are important. And that is why the Gemara seeks proof. Rabbi Chiya learned from Rameya, Rameya learned from Shmuel HaKotn, and Shmuel HaKotn from Yeshua Ben Nun, and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, at the end of the day, what did Rabbi Chiya decide? No, he's going to take this embarrassment on himself to prevent it from others. The Marsho has an amazing pshat. And the Marsho says, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe confronted Rabbi Chiya, and he said, "Atahu shetziarto la'aba." It was obvious to Reb Shimon that Reb Chiya didn't eat garlic. His complaint was, at the end of the day, you caused bittul Torah. Because after everyone walked out, there was no one to listen to the shir. So there was no shir. So you caused bittul Torah. And that is the way you were Mitzayer, our great teacher and my father. He had no one to give the shir to. And Rabbi Chiya says, preventing embarrassment of a person would override bittul Torah. And that was the dilemma, and that was the discussion between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chiya. So once again, comes back to the same yesod. Sometimes embarrassing a person is justified if it is to the benefit of either the community and if the intentions are pure and not bad. And that was the vikuach between Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe and Reb Chiya. Last source, and this is a big chiddush, I know it is, but this is my interpretation of the sugya. Bava basra kufnun daladu mitbeiz. There's an interesting discussion in the Gemara, and it is brought in Choshe Mishpat. A young person sold a field, and it was part of his inheritance. And he passed away shortly when he was very young. The family argued that the purchasers, the buyers, cannot take possession of that field because the seller was a minor. He was a cotton, and a cotton cannot sell. Selling part of your parents' inheritance, you need to be 20 years old. And he was far younger than that. The buyer said, "You're out of your mind." He was a gadol. He already brought shtei sadas, and he was a gadol. So the Gemara says, by halachic definition, we could dig up his grave, check his body. Was he a gadol or a kohen? And many of the achronim wonder. It's nevel ameis. What would justify nevel ameis to resolve a financial dispute? Would that permit Nivul Hameis? The Ksav Sofer writes, well, he's to blame. For you to sell a field, you need to verify that you are authorized to sell that field. You're a gadol. I find that it's very far-fetched. Why is he to blame? Why is he to blame? I mean, wouldn't occur to him that his family would try to override his selling? Wouldn't occur to him that he's going to die suddenly? Was a young man. And if he wouldn't die, there would be no sichsach. It is only because he died and the family were yorshim, and therefore they fought against the purchaser. If not for his demise, there would be no problem. So why is he to blame? And if he is to blame, so what? It's about Nevel HaMeis. It's not about him. So I find the tenets of the Ksav Sofer, Tshuvas Yoredei Kufay and Daled, unreasonable. Shoyel HaMeishev, Madura Aleph Chelek Aleph Simei Reish Lamed Aleph, says, from this sugi we learn that if there is any objective need, there is no Isra of Nevel HaMeis. That is groundbreaking. No, that is shattering. So if there's any objective need, there would be no Isra of Nevel HaMeis? No. Most Achronim would never accept that. Tshuvas Shivas Tzion, the great son of the Noide B'Yudah, going back 200 years, Shivas Tzion Simesamach Dalet. There's a big vikuach between Rabbi Loza Fleckels, was a chover in the basin of the Noide B'Yudah, and Shivas Tzion, who was the son of the Noide B'Yudah, Rabbi Shmuel, that was Mamala Mokom Avoisov, and he was the Rav of Prague after the Noide B'Yudah. Person, a body was found, unidentified, Meis Mitzvah, and he was buried. And then it became known there's an aguna in town, a lady whose husband left the house and never came back. And she cannot marry. She cannot remarry because she's an aguna. And the question is, could we dig up that grave and check the body? Maybe he is the husband, and then we could give her a permit to remarry. And there's a big machlokes between the gedolim. Would that permit Nevel HaMeis trying to have this woman be able to marry again? Because Chazal went to great extremes, Mishum Iguna, to salvage an Iguna from the curse of not being able to marry. Most of the Gedolim ultimately paskin, yes, that would justify digging up a grave. But it was a major discussion. And some Gedolim were against it. So it's not for a monetary dispute, digging up a grave and causing Nevel HaMeis. So, my opinion is this. I think I mentioned this when I gave the shiur a few months ago regarding Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Berabim. How could we do justice in Beis Din? Every argument that comes before Beis Din would naturally involve Halbonus Poim. One party accuses the other. It's the plaintiff and the defendant. And the plaintiff says he accuses the defendant of wrongdoing. He took a loan he didn't pay. He stole. He caused me damage. He lied. So it's the plaintiff and the defendant and three dayonim and a safra de dina. And usually some talmidei chachamim that are there just to learn. And they're edim and witnesses. There might be 5, 10, 15 people present. Why isn't this Halbonus Poim Berabim? For 100 shekel, how are you offending and insulting a person? So my tenet says, this is the nature of the process. And if we are to be choshech for Halbonus Poim, leis din veleis dayin. So to do justice and tzedek and mishpat, there is no yisur of Halbonus Poim. And I argue Kvoid HaMeis is not more important than Kvoid HaChai. It's the same idea. There's an Isser of Nevel HaMeis, like there is an Isser of offending the living. And Kvoid HaMeis is not Yosef Chomer Mekvoid HaChai. Regarding Kvoid HaChai, Chazal Ve'al Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Berabim Ein Lechelek Le'Olam Habo. Nowhere do we find HaManav LaSameis Ein Lechelek Le'Olam Habo. Regarding The honor and respect of the living, Chazal say, Noyach la'lodom shi'ab l'sas malkiv shon, o'eish v'aliyal b'nei chaveira b'rabim. Nowhere do we find, Noyach la'lodom shi'ab l'sas malkiv shon, o'eish v'aliyanav l'sames. So, kvoida meis, it's not greater than kvoida chai. And if in the process of dealing out rulings and doing justice, it overrides kvoida chai, it would override kvoida hames as well. And there, if there is no other way to solve this case and this monetary dispute, yes, with all due respect, we'll try to do it as carefully as possible, but it was justified. Up digging a caver to check whether this transaction is valid or invalid, if it's the only way to do justice, kach ne'el nizdati. So coming back to the basic principle, what we proved from many sources throughout the Shas, Geneva Bixela, Choyver Amazik, Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Berabim, and even Nivul Ameis, the entire realm of Beinodom L'Chaveiroi is of different nature than Beinodom L'Mokrim. And while Beinodom L'Mokrim we say, Ein Chochma Vein Tfuna Vein Eitze Negen Hashem, and the rules are fixed, and we cannot deviate from these rules, regarding Beinodom L'Chaveiroi, no. The two fundamental principles are pure intentions and the benefit of those involved, or the greater community. And when it is to the benefit of the community and the intentions are just and pure, then there would be no Isser in the entire realm of Ben Adam Chavera. But I do have to be very careful when I give a shiur like this. Not every individual could decide for his own what is the benefit of those involved and whether his intentions are pure or not. So I'm dealing with a very fundamental yisoid in halacha, in benodom l'chaveiroi. But all I intend to do is to explain the many sugis we have in Shas and the underlying principle, halacha l'maisa, that is nimsar for botei din, for gedoy lador, and for great scholars, and not for people who have their own negias and their own shoychad and their own subjective needs and wills. So we discussed a very yesodic sugya regarding the essence and the nature of mitzvahs shebeinodom l'chaveiroi. So towards the end of this week's parsha, Moshe ascends to the heavens to bring down shnei luchos habris. And those two luchos, writes Rashi, contain the entirety of Torah Hashem, Seres Adibris. But Rashi brings from previous sources. And he means Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim and others Miyamei HaGaonim. In a way, Aseres HaDibros are the fundamentals and the key to Taryag Mitzvahs. And each and every one of those Taryag Mitzvahs have some basis in Aseres HaDibros. Kol sheish meyes v'shloishes emitzes v'chlal aseres adibros hei v'rabbeinu sad yeperish ba'azhor ha-shiyosad l'chol dibo v'dibo mitzvois hatluyo izboi. So Rabbeinu Sadi Goin enumerated all the Taryag mitzvahs, how they are associated with one of aseres adibros. But on those two luchos, there were 10 dibros. And the Ramban explains in this week's parsha, the Ramban al Torah, two luchos, why two and not one? Luch number one, dedicated to mitzvah shebenodom l'mokoyim. Unoich Hashem elokecho, v'yelechu Elohim acherim al ponai. Lo yisas elochu pesel v'kol temuno. Zochel esyem eshavis lekadishoy. That is luch number one. Luch number two, lo tirtzach, lo tignoi, lo tinaf, lo isana bereach, lo eit shokar. One luach dedicated to the fundamentals, benodom l'mokoyim, and the other dedicated to the basics of benodom l'chaveiroi. The Ramban goes on to comment, number five is kaved esuvicho v'yesamecho, because this mitzvah touches upon both realms. Obviously, it's a benodom l'chaveiroi. It's between human beings, one person and the other. But it's not just Bein Odom L'Chaveroi. It is Kavedes Avicha V'Semecha. And this mitzvah is fundamental in the entire structure of Bein Odom L'Mokom as well. Because Torah is not only about the written word, it's the oral word, and it's the Mesoida and tradition. Tradition passed on from one generation to the other, from parents to their children, and from them to their children. Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai, u'mesura li'yoshua v'yoshua zelkeinu, v'zelkeinu l'nevi'im, li'anshe knesses ha'gdoilo, and to the great Tanuam and Amiron, and from one generation to the other. And therefore, kibud av'em is essential, and it touches upon both realms, Bein Odom L'Chaveroi and Bein Odom L'Mokom. That is why it is the last on the first Luach, the introduction to Luach number 2. Add on to this Ramban, Rashi in Parshas Ekev. Rashi writes in Parshas Ekev, Luchos is written Chosor, without a Vav. Lamed, Ches, Tav. Coming to indicate that both luchos were exactly the same. Same texture, same size, same weight. They were exactly the same. Why is that? To indicate that both are of the same importance. And one cannot say which is of greater importance. Bein Odom L'Mokom or Bein Odom L'Chaveroi. It is only the shleimus and the combination of the two that will enable a Jew to achieve perfection and to achieve shleimus. So many times we come to think that Bein Odom L'Mokom, it is the only way to be a tzaddik. Bein Odom L'Chaveroi is to be a mensch. Nothing to do with kiddushin or tzidkus. You gotta be a mensch. Gotta be a decent person. No, of course you gotta be a mensch, you gotta be a decent person. But without perfection of Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, you cannot achieve any degree of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is about Kiddusha, just like Bein Odom L'Mokom. So the Rambam writes in the very last halacha in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. And that is the last halachas in Rambam Zeroim. The Rambam writes, Shevet Levi is not a closed, exclusive club. No. It has open doors, and anybody could be part of this club of Shevet Levi. What do you need to pay? What's the price? How do you get in? Kol ish ve'ish mekol bo yoylam. Asher nechoyno ruchoy v'havinoy madoy. Lamoid lefnei Hashem la'ovdoy u'lesharosoy. L'deyo eis Hashem. Hoylech yoshor kefi she'asahu ha'elukim v'poyrek me'olav ol ha'cheshbonot ha'rabim asher b'kshu lehem b'nei adam. Harei ze neskadosh kodesh kodeshim. So the Rambam demands three conditions. One is Lamoid lefnei Hashem la'avdei u'lesharosai. Stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve. La'avdei eiz avoyde shevelev zu tefilo. L'deyo es Hashem. Da es Elokai ovicho. That is Torah. So first of all, Torah. Next, tefillah. What else? Yashmus. Hoylech yashor. Kefi she'asahu Elokim, v'porek me'olav ol ha'cheshbonot ha'rabim asher b'kshu lehem b'nei adam. We thought Yashus is just being a mensch, being a nice guy and a decent person. No, the Rambam is discussing Shevet Levi. It is only with the fulfillment of all three conditions, ha'reiz en eskadosh kodesh kodesh. Being a mensch has to do with kedusha. And without mitzvah Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, you're not going to get anywhere, and you cannot come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why those two luchos, which included the entirety of Torah, in essence, in Pnimius, are the same, exactly the same. One isn't on top of the other. One isn't bigger than the other. Because mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveiro are just as important as the ones shebein adam l'mokim. And mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveiro are about achieving kedusha and tahara and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Twice in Yerushalmi, Sanhedrin Nun Gimel Amid Beis, Avodah Zorah Yud Ches Amid Beis, is a fascinating Yerushalmi. Lama Nikra Shemoy Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbi in the entire Shas is called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ma'olam lo nestakel b'milosam. V'lama Nikra Shemoy Nachum Ish Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbeinu was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Nachum was called Nachum Ish Kodesh HaKodeshim. I don't know which Nachum that is. No idea. Maybe Nachum Ish Gamzu that we find in Bavli. But the Yerushalmi says, Sanhedrin Anan Avodah Zorah, V'lama Nikra Shemoy Nachum Ish Kodesh HaKodeshim Me'olam Lo Nestakel B'dmus Madbeya. So in my feeling, what does it mean, loynes akal b'dmus madbeya? It's not riyas asuros, it's not lois asuro achra levavchem v'achra enechem. It is, money meant nothing to him. He totally conquered tavas abetza. He was so honest and so straightforward and so transparent in all his monetary dealings. Loynes akal b'dmus madbeya. He totally overcame the temptation of Tavis Mamun, and that is why he was clean and pure in his monetary dealings, in his yashus. He was Hoylech Yoshua Kefisha So Elokim, and that is how he achieved the greatest madregas of Kedusha. So Rabbi obviously was pure in Midas Ayesoid, Moedim Lo Nistakel Bemilosa, and he was called Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Nochum was called Nochum Ish Kodesh HaKodeshim. Who loin estakel b'dmus madbeya? So today we discussed mitzvah sheben adam l'chaveiroi, and they are just as important as the mitzvah sheben adam l'chaveiroi. It's not just about being a mensch and being a good person and being decent. Far more than that. It's about being a great Jew. It is about tzidkis, about kedusha, and about tahara. And therefore the two luchos, number one dedicated to mitzvah sheben adam l'mokim, and number two dedicated to mitzvah sheben adam l'chaveiroi, were the same, coming to teach us that they are just as important, one as the other. Yiratzav, we should all achieve shleimus in mitzvah sheben adam l'mokim, and mitzvah sheben adam l'chaveiroi, and we should every day of our lives be magnim nasa l'nishma v'rekabel ol malchus shemayim be'ahava. We should be zeicha b'korah b'yameinu to be as Moshiach tzidkeinu and binyan beis amigdash b'mheiro v'yomeinu amen.